Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Sukhasagari Mataji with us to enlighten us on Chaitanya Bhagavat. Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srila Gurudev. So eagerly waiting, Mataji, to hear from you. But before I hand over the call to you, I would like to read Srila Prabhupada's quote for today. The quote goes, "People should not misunderstand that we are a band of musical artists. They must know that we are devotees of Krishna. Our devotional practice and purity shall be so strong that wherever we chant, there will be immediately an impression in the audience for devotion to Krishna." So this was said by His Divine Grace to His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj in a letter on October 30th, 1969. So Mataji, today we have Her Grace Sukhasagari Mataji talking on Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhya Kanda, 5th chapter from texts 27 to 36. So we are all very fortunate to hear from you, Mataji. Please take over. Eagerly waiting, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. It was like as though Prabhupada is personally instructing me with that quote for today. And thank you to all organizers and to Preeti Mataji for giving me a chance to actually purify myself and study the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's been so long, I have not been regularly attending the Chaitanya Bhagavat sessions. So it's purely by the mercy of such devotees that a fool like me can even study such a great scripture. So I'll need all your help, you know, today for the class. So thank you. And with humble prayers to all the devotees on the call, I hope I can present something of value. And so this, let me quickly share my presentation. And I hope you're all able to see this.
Yes, Mataji, we can see.
Yeah, so we are discussing from the Chaitanya Bhagavata, Madhya Khanda. And this chapter is titled Lord Nityananda's Vyasa Puja Ceremony and His Darshan of the Lords and His Darshan of the Lord's Six-Armed Form. So we have discussed the first few verses leading unto the 27th verse. And this talks about the Adivasa Kirtan that happened before the actual Vyasa Puja ceremony. So a lot of description is given about how the Lords danced and how ecstatic it was and how special, you know, the Lords dancing is, like both Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were dancing. So we'll try to see some excerpts about how beautifully, you know, the Lords dance and how special their dancing is from other parts of Chaitanya Charitamrita. We'll try to read as we go about today's verses. So later on in this chapter, we'll see how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he takes the mood of Lord Balarama. And we also saw, I think, in the third chapter of Madhya Khanda, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he takes on the mood of Varaha. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from time to time, he exhibited so many like different, you know, he takes on the mood of the different incarnations and such. But then he tries to hide it, you know, because he doesn't want to show himself as the Lord. He doesn't like to be called Lord like that. So that's, he's in the, you know, garb of a very humble devotee, like trying to teach us how a devotee should behave or how a devotee should conduct oneself and perform devotional service to the Lord. So that's his move. And because this is discussing about the dancing of the Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, I thought it may be a good idea to start with a bhajan which actually is, you know, will make us dance for the pleasure of the Lordships. So I'll quickly share that. Can you see my screen now? I'm sharing the song, the bhajan lyrics.
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, I just want to make sure it's not just the PPT and you can share, see all my screens. So yeah, this is by Bhakti Vinoda Thakura, this bhajan, and it's titled Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Na Shreya Mangal. Because, you know, the lordships are dancing, I thought it may be very appropriate to seek their blessings and we can proceed from there. Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Nitai Gora Hari Bol Hari Bol Nitai Gora Hari Bol Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nachreya Marman Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nachreya Marman Nachreya Marman Bole Nachreya Marman Nachreya Marman Bole Nachreya Marman Doyal Nitai Chaitanya Bole Nachreya Marman दोयाल तो नहीं है मार खे प्रेम दे दोयाल तो नहीं है मार खे प्रेम दे दोयाल तो नहीं है अपराधा दूरे जावे पावे प्रेम धार ওরে অপরাধা দূরে যাবে পাবে প্রেমাধান দয়াল নিতাই চেতন্যা বলে না শ্রেয়া মর্মান দয়াল নিতাই চেতন্যা বলে না শ্রেয়া মর্মান বিচার তো নাই হে বিচার তো নাই হে নামে অপরাধা বিচার তো নাই হে নামে অপরাধা বিচার তো নাই হে কৃষ্ণ নামে রুচি হাবে ঘুচি বে বন্ধন তখো কৃষ্ণ নামে রুচি হাবে ঘুচি বে বন্ধন দয়াল নিতাই চেতন্যা বলে নচরে আমার মান দয়াল নিতাই চেতন্যা বলে নচরে আমার মান অনুরাগ তো হাবে হে অনুরাগ তো হাবে হে কৃষ্ণ নামে অনুরাগ তো হাবে হে কৃষ্ণ নামে অনুরাগ তো হাবে হে অনায়াসে সফল হাবে জীবের জীবন তখো নানায়াসে সফল হাবে জীবের জীবন দয়াল নিতাই চেতন্যা বলে না শ্রেয়া মর্মান দয়াল নিতাই চেতন্যা বলে না শ্রেয়া মর্মান জীবন তো মিছে হে জীবন তো মিছে হে কৃষ্ণ রতি বিনা জীবন তো মিছে হে কৃষ্ণ রতি বিনা জীবন তো মিছে হে বৃন্দাবনে রাধা শ্যামের পায়ে বেদর্শন এসে বৃন্দাবনে রাধা শ্যামে পায়ে বেদর্শন দয়াল নিতাই চেতন্যা বলে না শ্রেয়া মর্মান দয়াল নিতাই চেতন্যা বলে না শ্রেয়া মর্মান গৌরা কৃপালে হে গৌরা কৃপালে হে গৌরা কৃপালে হে গৌরা কৃপালে হে দয়াল নিতাই চেতন্যা বলে না শ্রেয়া মর্মান দয়াল নিতাই চেতন্যা বলে না শ্রেয়া মর্মান Would devotees like to read the translation, please? I mean, we can take turns.
Hare
Okay,
Krishna
Mataji, please go ahead.
Chanting the holy name.
Dayal Chaitanya, O my mind, please dance. O my mind, please dance. O my mind, please dance. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mata. Anybody else would like to go? Okay.
Beautiful song, Mataji. Thank you so much. So I can read.
Yeah, please go.
Oh, such a merciful.
Sorry,
Oops.
Mata. Something it shows. Yeah, is it now visible, Mata?
Yeah. Oh, such a merciful personality as Nityananda Prabhu is not to be found anywhere. He suffers a beating from Jagga and Madai and still gives them the love of God. Oh, when your offenses are being vanquished, you will obtain the treasure of love of God. But in these names of Chaitanya and Nitai, there is no consideration of offenses. Once you have a taste for the holy name of Krishna, bondage to this world will come to an end.
Oh, when there is attachment to the holy name of Krishna, the life of a living entity being very easily becomes successful. Oh, without affection for Krishna, life is simply useless. At the end of life, you will obtain the beautiful vision of Radha Shyam in Vrindavan, but only in the mercy of Gauranga is possible.
Jai. Thank you, Mataji, for so beautifully reading the purport. Now we can go to the verses for today and like to re recite few pra mantras before that. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatyadeshadharine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Yeah, so today we'll be reading, and I hope it's okay for devotees to take turns to read, whenever there is something that comes up. So this is from starting from verse 27 of chapter 5. Swanubhavanandena che prabhu duijana kshane kola koli kari karaye krandana स्वानुभावानन्देन चे प्रभु द्विजाना क्षणे कोलाकुली करे करये क्रंदना As the two lords danced in their own ecstasy, they sometimes embraced each other and cried. So previously, we saw in the previous verses how the lordships were exhibiting the symptoms of ecstasy, like the symptoms of ecstasy. So they were exhibiting those symptoms of ecstasy. And now a little more description about how special their dance is being offered in these following verses. So I just gathered a couple of articles, I could find regarding how beautifully Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dances. And these are from two pastimes. One is the Beda Kirtan pastimes that happened during the Rath Yatra, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually arranged or he made the formations of different groups and how the devotees danced in ecstasy there and how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was dancing and several beautiful descriptions are there and we can perhaps take turns to just all of us can read together like a few descriptions from there.
Thank you.
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the preceding paragraphs speak about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased, like how King Pratap Rudra took the humble position of a sweeper and was, you know, sweeping the ground, like when the Rath Yatra, when the Raths were coming. So he was very happy to see that the king had taken such a humble position. And we'll just try to read those parts. From, you know, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually forming the groups and how beautiful the whole dance, like we can try to visualize how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu organized this, you know, dance parties. It's actually reminded me of how His Holiness Indudu Maharaj also, you know, he organizes his kirtaniers and, you know, he makes sure that they are dressed so nicely and, you know, they appeal to everybody and, so that people take, you know, are attracted to the kirtan like that. And so this formation of groups and doing the kirtan in an organized way is actually introduced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. He himself arranged these different formations and has personally taught us how, you know, we can also make these kirtan events more attractive by forming these kind of groups like that. So if any... Buddy, any devotees are inspired, we can take turns to read. Starting from here, there were four parties of Kirtana performance. Yes, Mataji, please go ahead.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. There were four parties of Kirtana performance comprising 24 chanters. In each party, there were also two Mridanga players playing an additional 8 persons. There were also Sangirtana party from the village known as Kulina Grama. Ramananda and Satyaraja also appointed the dancers in this group. Another party came from Santipura and was formed by Advaita Acharya. Achyutananda was the dancer and the rest of the men were singers. Another party was formed by the people of Kanda. These people were singing in a different place. In that group, Narahari Prabhu and Raghunananda were dancing. Four parties chanted and danced in front of Lord Jagannatha and on both sides were two other parties. Another was at the rear. Thus, there were 7 parties of Sangeetana and in each party, 2 men were beating drums. Thus, 14 drums were being played at once. The sound was tumultuous and all the devotees became mad. All the Vaishnavas became...
Sorry to interrupt you. Do you want to continue from this part, Mataji? Lord Chaitanya.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wandered to all 7 groups, chanting the holy name, Hari, Hari, raising his arms. He shouted all glories to Jagannatha. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then exhibited another mystic power by performing pastime simultaneously in all 7 groups. Everyone said...
Sorry, Mataji. I don't know what's happening to my computer. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah, Mataji, where are you? Please start.
Yeah, you can continue, Mataji.
Where, Mataji?
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
then exhibited another mystic power by performing pastime simultaneously in all 7 groups. Everyone said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present in my group. Indeed, he does not go anywhere else. He is bestowing his mercy upon us. Actually, no one could see the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Only the most confidential devotees, those in pure, unalloyed devotional service could understand. Lord Jagannatha was very pleased by the Sangeetana and he brought his ear to a standstill just to see the performance. Lord Pratap Rudra also astonished to see the Sangeetana. He became inactive and was converted to ecstatic love of Krishna. When the king informed the Kasi Misra of the glories of the Lord, Kasi Misra replied, "Our king, your fortune has no limit. Only a person who has received the mercy of Lord can understand. Without the Lord's mercy, even the demigods headed by Lord Brahma cannot understand." Sri Chaitanya
Mataji,
Mahaprabhu.
Do you want to read from the purport now, if you don't mind?
Yes,
sorry
Mataji.
If I'm interrupting you.
Yes, Mataji. Purport. The mystery of the Lord's activities is described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. Now, Jagannatha was astonished to see the transcendental dancing and chantings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he stopped his car to see the dancing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then danced in such a mystical way that he pleased Lord Jagannatha. The seer and the dancer were one, and the seer and the dancer were one and the same supreme person. But the Lord, being one and many of the same time, was exhibiting the variegatedness of his pastimes. That is the meaning behind his mysterious exhibition. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king could understand how both of them were enjoying each other's activities. Another mysterious exhibition was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu simultaneous present in 7 groups. By the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the king could understand that also. Although the king was refused an interview, he was directly granted causeless mercy. Who can understand the internal potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Shall I continue, Mataji?
One second, Mataji. I just was trying to see those dance parts, you know, which are so interesting. Yeah, this one, Mataji, if you don't mind. Or if somebody else wants to read too, please go ahead. I mean, whoever is inspired. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his mystic power in presenting himself. This part.
Okay, Mataji. Anyone? Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mata. Hare Krishna. Anybody else is inspired to read?
Mataji, can I read?
Yeah, please go ahead, Mata.
As stated in the Upanishad, Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shunyati, the Supreme Lord has multipotencies which act so perfectly that all consciousness, strength and activity are being directed solely by His will. Shvetashvara Upanishad 6.2. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited His mystic power in presenting Himself simultaneously in each and every Sankirtana group. Most people thought that He was one, but some saw that He was many. The internal devotees could understand that the Lord, although one, was exhibiting Himself as many in the different Sankirtana groups. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, He forgot Himself and was simply observed in ecstatic bliss. However, His internal potency arranged everything perfectly. This is the difference between the internal and external potency. In the material world, the external potency, material energy, can act only after one endeavors at great length, but when the Supreme Lord desires, everything is performed automatically by the internal potency. By His will, things happen so perfectly that they appear to be carried out automatically. Sometimes activities of the internal potency are exhibited in the material world. In fact, all the activities of the material nature are actually performed by the inconceivable energies of the Lord, but so-called scientists and students of material nature are unable to understand ultimately how things are happening. They evasively conclude that everything is being done by nature, but they do not know that behind nature is a potent supreme personality of Godhead. This is explained by Lord Krishna.
Mataji, we can kind of pause there, Mataji. I just wanted to bring attention to this line here. Just as
Just as Lord Sri Krishna formally performed the Rasleela dance and other pastimes at Vrindavan, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed uncommon pastimes moment after moment. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, his dancing in front of the Ratha Yatra, could be perceived only by pure devotees. Others could not understand. Further examples of Lord's uncommon dancing can be found in the revealed scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam.
Jai, thank you so much, Mataji, for reading. Yeah, I mean, the whole chapter is actually, you know, describing how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced with the Rath Yatra. So there are so many verses glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dance, how he formed the different parties, the internal reasons behind the Lord's dancing. So externally, we just, you know, we just think that the Lord is doing kirtan and dancing in the kirtan, but there is so many internal truths, like we were just seeing how, you know, like a couple of the truths, how King Pratap Rudra, his pure devotee, could understand what was actually happening. It's explained that how the Lord is himself the seer and the dancer, And also how here also in this purport we're seeing that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually enacting something very similar to what Lord Krishna did, you know, in the Rasa Leela dance when he expanded himself. And also there's another context given how he expanded himself, you know, when he married 16,000 wives in Dwaraka. So each wife was able to, you know, have her relationship with Krishna, and he expanded himself into so many Krishnas like that. So none of his wives were deprived that way. So many sublime truths are given, though it just appears to be like a dancing, but there are so many, you know, like very esoteric and sublime truths which are given to us, you know, in the purport by the acharyas. So it's though externally it just appears as a dance, but there are so many things happening in the background. So that's what I was trying to, you know, get at with all of us trying to read these purports and these verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that though externally it appears just like a dance, but when we take like advanced devotees and how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he showed this, that there's more internal reasons when we see advanced devotees dance. They are lost in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and then they are dancing in that mood. So it is not like just, you know, I'm trying to have a good time because I like the kirtan beats or I like the melody or something like that. So you know, a person of fool like me may be thinking on those lines, but advanced devotees and elevated devotees, they are actually in a different realm, in a different space when they're dancing for the Lord. So it's important that we try to imbibe this mood, you know, when we read these kind of descriptions from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and from our scriptures, we kind of know in what mood we should be dancing for the Lord too. So I thought this is good to take a digression here and dwell on this Rath Yatra pastime of the Lord. There's also another excerpt I thought we can read. This is regarding how Balarama, Lord Balarama's dancing was so exceptional. And this is during the Chidadahi pastime. So, like you can see the meeting of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raghunath Das Goswami. So, in this pastime, it's a very, very sweet pastime. I'm sure all of us are aware of it. We've heard it many times earlier too. But Lord Nityananda, he calls Raghunath Das Goswami a thief, because Raghunath Das Goswami feels very low and he doesn't want to go right in front of Lord Nityananda. So he kind of hides himself like that among the crowd. But then Lord Nityananda sees him and he's like, come to the front, you know, come before me. So why are you hiding? And he calls him a thief and he says, you just have to repay, you know, because you're being like this. So you have to arrange this Chidadahi festival. And so though he's actually externally appears as though Lord Nityananda is chastising him, but he's giving him the highest benediction of seva, you know. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he arranges for this Chidadahi festival. And then the lordships, like Lord Nityananda, when he's honoring the prasad, he actually requests Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appear there. And so Lord Nityananda knows that, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he both are actually having that Chidadahi, the chip rice. But others cannot see this because Lord Nityananda makes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very mysteriously appear there. And then after this Chidadahi festival, towards the evening, he goes to a temple. And there, Lord Nityananda does kirtan. There are a couple of verses. Sorry, I don't mean to make you dizzy by scrolling like this. But there are a couple of verses we can, you know, try to read from here. If anybody is inspired, or I can go to, like, I was just thinking if we can all share the wealth. So, okay, if, yeah, I don't see any raised. Yeah, go ahead, Mata. Can you read from 101, please?
Okay. Nityananda Prabhu rested for and then he went to the temple of Raghava Pandita and began congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Lord Nityananda Prabhu first influenced all the devotees to dance, and finally his interest began dancing thus. inundating the entire world in ecstatic love. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was observing the dancing of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu could see this, but the others could not. The dancing of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, like the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, cannot be compared to anything within these three worlds. No one can properly describe the sweetness of Lord Nityananda's dancing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally comes to see. After the dancing and after Lord Nityananda had rested, Raghava Pandita submitted his request that the Lord take supper.
Jai, thank you, Mata. So here a short description is given of how Lord Nityananda's dancing is. At other places, it's also mentioned that, you know, when Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya dance, like I think in one of the further verses we'll be reading today, that how the whole the earth was shaking, and the devotees thought that, you know, it's if there's going to be like an earthquake or something like that. So that's how the Lords dance ecstatically. So these are like short descriptions, and like we can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was seeing this, but others could not see that, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also relishing how Lord Nityananda Prabhu was dancing. So when they dance, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu dance, what happens is that they enjoy each other's dancing, and then this love, this ecstatic love or this ecstasy, mood of ecstasy keeps increasing. And that kind of segues to the next following verses, which we will just go back to now. We'll go to the next slide. They both tried. Okay, sorry. Dohara charana dohe dhari bera dhari bare chaya parama chatura dohe keha nahi paya dohara charana dohe dhari bare chaya parama chatura dohe keha nahi paya. English translation: they both tried to catch the other's feet, but they both cleverly avoided being caught. Commentary, Gaudiya Bhashya by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In ordinary affairs, under the influence of materialistic false ego, when someone touches the feet of another person, the person whose feet were touched becomes proud and considers himself great. But since such materialistic false ego is not found in Vishnu or the Vaishnavas, they never hesitate to touch each other's feet. The transcendental activities of Vaishnavas are not subject matters understandable by ordinary proud persons. So this is another aspect of, you know, how during the dance, the lordships, they try to catch each other's feet. And so much can be said, right, about this devotees trying to touch and getting the dust of each other's feet like that. We see that happen even in our devotee circles, you know, like, we try to get the dust of each other's feet. And and Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, in one of his classes, he just says that this is, you know, this is like a sport in itself, like the devotee catching feet kind of a sport or a game like that. So where each devotee tries, or, you know, is competing to catch the, you know, get follow the other devotee's feet and get the blessings like that. So this is almost like a game or a sport like that amongst devotees. And we see that this was also actually the lordships did it. And that's where we got this kind of the same mood, you know, where we try to get the dust of each other's feet like that. And so much, like I said, can be said about the dust of the pure devotee's feet. And in this context, we can read some verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is from the 7th canto. And in our morning Bhagavatam sessions also, we are doing 7th canto, which deals with Prahlad Maharaj's pastime. And how he actually, in this chapter, in the 7.5, he's actually preaching to his father. And just to give a brief, you know, kind of prelude to what we'll be reading now. So, Hiranyakashipu sends off his son because he's always chanting the names of the Lord Vishnu. So he's kind of angry and upset with him, and he sends off his son to the Gurukul, you know, to learn from Shanda Namarka. And despite their efforts to actually teach him and that Lord Vishnu is not the one to be worshipped, but Hiranyakashipu needs to be worshipped. But Prahlad Maharaj, he's such a pure devotee of the Lord that he actually influences everybody there, and he starts preaching to all his classmates like that in such sweet words. The description in Bhagavatam is very, very sweet, like of the whole chapter. And Shanda and Amarka, at one point of time, they ask him, where did you learn all this? But he never divulges the truth. And then at one point of time, they think that he's ready to, to present him. They teach him whatever they can. And then the Srimad Bhagavatam mentions that they just taught him dharma, artha, kama. So these are the only three aspects they educated Prahlad Maharaj on, not on moksha or liberation or the higher truths of human life like that. So they thought he's ready to, be presented in front of his father. And so Hiranyakashipu comes there, and then Prahlad Maharaj, very humbly, he falls down at the feet of his father. So Hiranyakashipu is overcome by love. And so he takes his son on the lap, and, tears are pouring from his eyes because of paternal love like that. So then he asks his son, so what have you learned? So what is the essence of your learning, of your knowledge? So then Prahlad Maharaj goes ahead, and, the famous Shravanam Kirtanam verse, he says the different processes of devotional service and all those details. And Hiranyakashipu is again so upset, like he's like, who taught you all this? Who taught you all this? And then Prahlad Maharaj, he says that at that point, he's very angry. And at that point, Prahlad Maharaj again starts to instruct or, preach to his father. And this is one of the verses spoken at that time. A very beautiful and a very, very important key verse for Vaishnavas.
स्पृश्यत अनर्थापकमो यदर्थः महीयशां पादरजोभिषेकं निष्किञ्चनानां न वृणीत यावत्.
Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely freed from material contaminations, persons very much inclined towards materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, in this way can one be freed from the material contamination. There is such a beautiful purport also given by Prabhupada. It's kind of very short, so I'll just go ahead and read it for my purification. Becoming Krishna conscious brings about anartha apagamaha, the disappearance of all anarthas, the miserable conditions we have unnecessarily accepted. The material body is the basic principle of these unwanted miserable conditions. The entire Vedic civilization is meant to relieve one from these unwanted miseries, but persons bound by the laws of nature do not know the destination of life. As described in the previous verse, Isha Tantriyam Urudam Nibaddha, they are conditioned by the three strong modes of material nature. The education that keeps the conditioned soul bound life after life is called materialistic education. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that materialistic education expands the influence of Maya. Such an education induces a conditioned soul to be increasingly attached to materialistic life and to stray further and further away from liberation from unwanted miseries. Like in some places also it's described, right? Like this modern education system is actually compared to a slaughterhouse, like where the soul, the education for the soul does not happen, and it's all about material achievements or things like that. So there is no emphasis, or absolutely zero emphasis for the soul. So in that sense, they call it a slaughterhouse, at least in the devotee circle. One may ask why highly educated persons do not take to Krishna consciousness. The reason is explained in this verse. Unless one takes shelter of a bona fide, fully Krishna conscious spiritual master, there is no chance of understanding Krishna. The educators, scholars, and big political leaders worshipped by millions of people cannot understand the goal of life and take to Krishna consciousness, for they have not accepted a bona fide spiritual master and the Vedas. Therefore, in the Mundaka Upanishad, it is said, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Na Medhaya Na Bahuna Shrutena. One cannot become self-realized simply by having academic education, by presenting lectures in an erudite way, Pravachanena Labhya, or by being an intelligent scientist who discovers many wonderful things. One cannot understand Krishna unless one is graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only one who has surrendered to a pure devotee of Krishna and taken the dust off his lotus feet can understand Krishna. First, one must understand how to get out of the clutches of Maya. The only means is to become Krishna conscious. And to become Krishna conscious very easily, one must take shelter of a realized soul, a Mahat or Mahatma, whose only interest is to engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. So we are seeing how Prabhupada is belaboring the point that without taking shelter of the lotus feet of a devotee, our Krishna consciousness does not start, you know. And I was recently listening to a class by His Holiness Swayam Bhagwan Kesha Swami Maharaj, where he said that all devotees are dependent, and, you know, there is no concept of an independent devotee like that. So at any point of time, a devotee must take either shiksha, you know, diksha is there always, shiksha from another devotee like that. So the moment we think that we're independent and we know everything, I mean, we tend to not be a devotee at that point. And so we should always keep this in mind, that a devotee is always always dependent on the mercy of other Vaishnavas. So without that, our life does not move forward. So that was a key message he actually conveyed, and that's precisely what Srila Prabhupada is saying here too. Like he's saying, unless we get the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee, our Krishna consciousness does not kick off. Our Krishna consciousness does not kick off. So it's very important to always get devotee association. And a lot of things can be again said about devotee association, like how to deal with devotees who are maybe, you know, at a neophyte level, at an uttamadhikari level, at a madhyamadhikari level, like that. So how, you know, we can prema maitri, apeksha, like that. The different ways to deal with devotees at different levels is also discussed very clearly in the Nectar of Devotion, like that. So it is very important, in essence, that we take the dust of the lotus feet of devotees. You know, devotee association is so important that otherwise there is actually no spiritual progress. The example of Bharat Maharaj, right? How he fell and how he got very attached to the deer. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that, you know, because he did not have a guru, he did not seek his guru regarding, you know, having taking care of the deer, and he did not have association, and that kind of took him away from the spiritual focus, and he got kind of attached to the deer at that point in time. So it's very important that we always have the devotee association, and we always, so that's what it actually means when, you know, taking the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is like, okay, we take the dust, we fall at their feet, but what do you do after that? We take the association. So when we take the association, we try to imbibe those divine qualities or those devotional qualities they have. So that is what we understand by actually smearing upon the bodies the dust of the lotus feet. That, I mean, figuratively it means doing that too, but then also it means that we clean ourselves by listening to the words of these pure souls like that. There are several other, let me try to bring out this one. Yeah, this is the example of, you know, the classic example of Uddhava, how when he went to, get darshan of the gopis, like that. So this is from the 10th canto. Just a couple of references here. The gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of their husbands, sons and other family members, who are very difficult to give up. And they have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, which one should search for by Vedic knowledge. Oh, let me be fortunate enough to be one of the bushes creepers or herbs in Vrindavan because the gopis trample them and bless them with the dust of their lotus feet. So this is the humble prayer where we can just read the purport. It will say it on. The word meaning, okay, these are taken from Srila Prabhupada's English rendering of Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Antya 747. Sri Uddhava here shows the perfect Vaishnava attitude of humility. He does not pray to be equal to the gopis in the exalted stage of love, but rather to take birth as a bush or creeper in Vrindavan, so that when they walk upon him, he will get the dust of their feet and thus be blessed. The shy gopis would never agree to give such blessings to a great personality like Uddhava. Therefore, he cleverly sought to get such mercy by taking birth as a plant in Vrindavan. So if Uddhava directly approached, you know, the gopis and asked for the dust, they would never give him that. So he was very clever, how nicely it's written in the purport, that he cleverly sought to get such mercy by taking birth as a plant in Vrindavan. So many descriptions. I was recently also listening to a class. This is a Sri Vaishnava class on Venkatachala Tirupati Mahatmyam, like the greatness of the Tirupati temple. And there is this devotee of the Lord who actually pleads, you know, he wants to take, he tries to take like the form of a of one of the steps there on the way to the Tirupati, and you know, as the spitting bowl holder there. I mean, so many, like there are at least 9 things which are described the devotee wants to take form of to serve the Lord, like Kulashekhar Alvar, I think, if I'm not wrong. But then at the end, he, you know, for everything there is a flaw. Like, so he says, I'll turn into a rock, I'll turn into a nice Shenbagampu, it is called, I don't know what's the English name. He says he thinks I'll be like that Shenbagam flower there in the courtyard of the Tirupati temple. And then, but then the Lord says, what if somebody plucks you, you know, takes the plant away and goes, plants it at their home, so then you will not get residence there in the Tirupati temple area. So then he says, I'll be I'll turn myself into a thorny bush. Then he says, so what if the, you know, because you're a thorny bush, people may think it's an obstacle and remove you. So many different things, you know, he'll try to get residence as in the Tirumala Tirupati hills, like that. So in the end, he gives up. Like, he says, I don't know what to be, so Lord, whatever you want me to, you know, be as in your but all I want is your association. I want to be there, you know, like at Tirupati. So whatever you want to convert me into, I'm happy to do that. Like, so different things, so beautifully it is explained. I'm not doing justice at all. So he aspires to take different forms there, like a big rock.
Mataji, sorry for interrupting. And he will say, padiya irundu pavlai kanbiyano. Padiya irundu means in that that altar, that in that mean before entering, yeah, that this thing. No, the, if I'll be that to see your sweet lotus mouth, he was telling. Yeah, that is my, yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so beautifully, Mataji, you quoted. Yeah, so it's so beautiful, like the description of devotees like that, how in a humble mood of prayer they want to get the association, and then towards the end he totally gives up and he says, you know, whatever you want me to be, I will be, as long as I get your association, like that. So yeah, he tries to become the river there. So many different details are given like that. So so devotees, you know, like when we read such pastimes from devotees, it takes us to a different realm and how we should be actually looking at things in the material sphere of life. So let me go back. This is another thing. This is another pastime I just thought we could do. How when Ambarish Maharaja was offended by Durvasa Muni, and Lord Vishnu tells him that this is, I took this example as another example where when we commit offenses, you know, we should go and fall at the feet of devotees and beg for their mercy and forgiveness like that. So this is another aspect of falling at the feet of devotees and trying to get their dust. So if somebody is inspired to read just this one paragraph, once Maharaja Ambarish, starting from here.
Thank you. Shall I, Mataji?
Yeah, please.
Once Maharaja Ambarisha was worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavana, observing the vow of Dwadasi, the vow of Devasi. On Dwadasi, the day after Ekadasi, when he was about to break his Ekadasi fast, the great mystic yogi Durvasa Muniva, Durvasa appeared in his house and became his guest. King Ambarisa respectfully received Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni, after accepting his invitation to eat there, went to bathe in the Yamuna river at noontime. Because he was absorbed in Samadhi, he did not come back very soon. Maharaja Ambarisa, however, upon seeing that the time to break the fast was passing, drank a little water in accordance with the advice of learned Brahmanas, just to observe the formality of breaking the fast. By mystic power, Durvasa Muni could understand that this has happened, and he was very angry. When he returned, he began to chastise Maharaja Ambarisa, but he was not satisfied. And finally, he created from his hair a demon appearing like the fire of death. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, is always the protector of his devotee. And to protect Maharaja Ambarisa, he sent his disc, the Sudarsana Chakra, which immediately vanquished the fairy demon and then pursued Durvasa, who was also envious of Maharaja Ambarisa. Durvasa fled to Brahmaloka, Sivaloka and all other higher planets, but he could not protect himself from the wrath of Sudarsana Chakra. Finally, he went to the spiritual world and surrendered to Lord Narayana. But Lord Narayana could not excuse a person who had offended a Vaishnava. To be excused from such an offense, one must submit to the Vaishnava whom he has offended. There was no other way to be excused. Thus, Lord Narayana advised Durvasa to return to Maharaja Ambarisa and beg his pardon.
Right. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you.
So as a part of, you know, begging forgiveness too, we should fall at the Vaishnava's feet and beg for forgiveness like that, you know, in all humility. So falling at the feet of a Vaishnava, lotus feet of the Vaishnava, is actually a sign of humility. And that's how we will get their mercy and their blessings. We move on to the next verse.
Paramananda dohe gada gadiyaya, apana na jane dohe apana lilaya. Paramananda dohe gada gadiyaya, apana na jane dohe apana lilaya.
They both rolled on the ground in ecstasy and forgot themselves while absorbed in their own pastimes. So this kind of reminded me how Lord Krishna and Balaram would be rolling on Ramanreti in Vrindavan. And, you know, many devotees, at least when we went to Vrindavan way back, several years back, we were told that it's kind of auspicious to roll there on the sand there. And we were rolling too, and we took pictures like that. So they performed many ecstatic pastimes like that. We also have our Krishna Balaram temple in Ramanreti. So it's a very, very auspicious Tirtha. Verse 30.
Bahyadura haila vasana nahiraya dharaye Vaishnava gana dharana nayaya. Mayadura haila vasana nahiraya dharaya Vaishnava gana dharana nayaya.
They lost all external consciousness and their cloths scattered. Although the Vaishnavas tried to pacify them, they were unable. So this is actually the two lordships. They are dancing and they are in total ecstasy. So who can pacify them, right? Yeah, so I was kind of reminded by how, you know, when Lord Narasimha Dev was actually full of that, he was in that rasa of anger, you know, and how nobody could approach Lord Narasimha Dev, and only Prahlad Maharaj could approach Lord Narasimha Dev to pacify him. Even Lakshmi was kind of scared to approach him like that. So when the lordships, when they have their leela, you know, it's not easy to approach them like that, right? In that mood. So let's move on.
Ye dharaye tribhuvana ke dhari betare. Mahamata dui prabhu kirtane vihare. E dharaye tribhuvana ke dhari batare. Mahamata dui prabhu kirtane vihare.
English translation, who can hold that personality who holds the three worlds? The two lords thus became intoxicated in the happiness of Kirtana. Commentary. Both Sri Gaura and Nityananda are sustainers of the world. Therefore, how will created human beings of this world hold the sustainers of the world? So it is, very kind of irony in one sense. Like, there's some sort of sense of irony in these sentences, right? Like, because they are the sustainers of the world, so how can we stop them, right? I mean, it makes no sense like that. So it's very nicely worded there by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj there. Let's try to see what reference I have here. Yeah, so Lord Krishna, he is Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suvete Sacharacharam. There's so many verses from the Bhagavad Gita, right? Brahmanohi Pratishtam, like so many verses where Lord Krishna says that he is the sustainer, or the whole Sutre Manigana Eva, that the whole world, is like pearls on a necklace. That's how he holds them. Like, so many verses are there from our scriptures which describe how the lordships actually sustain, Gatir Bharta Prabhu Shakshi, that verse too. So I just took this specific detail of how Lord Balarama, Krishna's immediate expansion, how he actually makes this happen. So Lord Krishna, through his agencies or through his expansions, he sustains the world like that. I just thought we can read a couple of things here of how Lord Balarama does it. If anybody is inspired, we can start reading from Lord Krishna is not an incarnation of the Purusha, like that. From this line here. Any devotees would like to read, please?
Mataji,
okay.
Shall I
go
Mataji?
Ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Lord Krishna is not an incarnation of the Purusha, but is directly the original personality of Godhead. And Balarama is the first plenary manifestation of the Lord. From Baladeva, the first flanks of plenary expansions, Vasudeva, Sankrishna, Aniruddha, and Pratyagna expands. Lord Sri Krishna is Vasudeva, and Baladeva is Sankrishna. The Supreme Lord expands his personal form in two primary categories. The Prakasa forms, the manifested by Lord Krishna for his pastimes, and their features are exactly like his. When Lord Krishna married 16,000 queens in Dwarka, he did also in 16,000 Prakasa expansions. Similarly, during the Rasa dance, he expanded himself in identical Prakasa forms to dance beside each and every gopi simultaneously. When the Lord manifests his Vilasa expansions, however, they are all somewhat different in their bodily features. But Lord Balarama is the first Vilasa expansion of Lord Krishna, and the four-handed Narayana forms in Vaikuntha expand from Balarama. There is no difference between the bodily forms. Forms of Sri Krishna and Balarama, except that their bodily colors are different. The bodily hue of Krishna is dark and that of Balarama is fair. Similarly, Sri Narayana in Vaikuntha has four hands, whereas Krishna has only two. The expansion of the Lord who manifests in such bodily differences are known as Vilasa Vigrahas. But Lord Balarama is also the Sesha incarnation. Garbhodha Shahi Vishnu lies upon the Ananta Sesha while dissolving the material creation. In the Upanishad, it is stated that one cannot attain the supreme or any form of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balarama. Bala does not mean physical strength. No one can attain spiritual perfection by physical strength. One must have the spiritual strength which is infused by Balarama or Sankrishna. Ananta or Sesha is the power which sustains all the planets in different positions. Materially, this sustaining power is known as the law of gravitation, but actually it is a display of the potency of Sankrishna. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the absolute truth, everything in relation to him is also the same platform. The Lord's clothing, bedding, slippers, and everything required as an ordinary necessity are all transformation of Sesha Vishnu, the expansion of Sri Baladeva. Thus, the cloth and other paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are but other forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji, for reading. Yeah, so the basic thing is like, you know, how Balarama, he sustains all these planets. And that's what I just wanted to bring attention to here. Let's move on. I think I'm running short of time. And we'll move on to the verses for today. Bola bola bali dake Shri Gora Sundara Sinchita Ananda Jale Sarva Kalevara Bola bola bali dake Shri Gora Sundara Sinchita Ananda Jale Sarva Kalevara. Shri Gora Sundara called out, chant, chant, and his entire body became soaked with tears of ecstasy. I'm a little bit running ahead here. Chiradine Nityananda Pai Abhilashe Bahya Nahi Ananda Sagar Maje Bhashe Chiradine Nityananda Pai Abhilashe Bahya Nahi Ananda Sagar Maje Bhashe. After obtaining fulfillment of his long cherished desire for the association of Nityananda, the Lord forgot himself and floated in an ocean of bliss. Commentary: the word Chiradina means eternally. The threefold miseries are present within the material world. In the kingdom of spiritual variegatedness, however, there is an ever fresh outburst of happiness. I just, you know, wanted to give like a quick, I don't know if we have the time for it, but this is a very nice article. Maybe I'll post a link to it later on, which describes why, like when we were in this verse, it says, in the kingdom of spiritual variegatedness, however, there is an ever fresh outburst of happiness. So the bliss is increasing in the spiritual world. And this article, which I just pulled out, it kind of gives why this bliss is ever increasing in the spiritual world. And just, you know, to summarize it or to, you know, give a short description because we are over time here. So it's described that how Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna, they are one and the same, but for, you know, sake of the past times, they are like in two different forms like that. And how when Srimati Radharani, she serves Lord Krishna, his bliss increases. And seeing Lord Krishna happy, Radharani's bliss increases. So there's always this kind of an ever increasing bliss between Sri Radha and Sri Krishna like that. So, and just this one paragraph, you know, maybe Radharani and Krishna show that the ultimate nature of God contains internal varieties. So it's variegated like that. And the endless reciprocation of love is the basis of an internal transcendental dynamic by which Krishna is eternally increasing in beauty and bliss. So this is the reason why Krishna consciousness is so attractive, because, you know, there is an internal transcendental dynamic by which Krishna is eternally increasing in beauty and bliss. Although Radha has no desire for her own enjoyment, when she sees Krishna, her joy increases without bound. Because her joy increases, her sweetness and beauty also increase. When Krishna sees Radha becoming more and more beautiful, his joy also becomes greater, making his beauty and his sweetness grow. When Radha sees that she has pleased Krishna, she becomes overjoyed. And as her joy multiplies, she becomes even more beautiful and sweet. This again increases Krishna's own joy, beauty, and sweetness. And so the reciprocation goes on and on without limit or end. The name Krishna means all attractive, and knowing the reciprocation of ever-increasing love between Radha and Krishna allows us to appreciate how attractive God is. Much more attractive than anything in this world. When God is misconceived as static and without variegatedness, it makes the material world seem more interesting and alluring by comparison. Just this sort of static conception was borrowed by Christian philosophers from Aristotle and enshrined in medieval theology. And this is one reason why the Renaissance turned to the material world, or for a sense of promise, adventure, and expanding possibilities. For God was philosophically understood as actus purus, which meant that he was everything that he could ever be. He was entirely static, a kind of crystallized, frozen perfection. So our scriptures give this idea, you know, that this is the mood of devotional service is Anandamudi. So it's ever increasing, always increasing. So it's not like how these medieval theologies think that, you know, it is very static and there's a like an upper limit to how the God, to his potencies or to his attractiveness like that. But this keeps increasing and increasing. So it's so beautifully described. We should all, you know, take some time to read this. It was thought that if God possesses the fullness of infinite perfection, then the divine perfection would be at an absolute maximum and could not increase. But Krishnadas Kaviraja says that although God is at the fullness of perfection, he still does increase. It's kind of paradoxical, right? The apparent paradox may be easier to accept if you consider a similar paradox discovered by modern mathematicians in their investigation of the properties of infinite sets. Let us consider, for example, a hotel with infinite rooms, all of which are occupied. Although the hotel is full, you can always add more guests. In fact, an infinite number of guests. Let us imagine that a desk clerk wants to check in a new guest. He blows a whistle and all the doors open. The occupant of room one moves to room two, of two to three, and so on ad infinitum. The new guest enters the now empty room one. Similarly, even though there are though an infinite number of guests check out of the hotel, it will retain full occupancy. The Isha Upanishad makes a similar point about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is so complete that even though countless energies emanate from him, he remains complete and wholly undiminished. And Purnameva Vishishyate. So it's again complete, you know. And although Krishna is full and complete, yet through his loving reciprocation with Radha, he eternally increases without limit. I mean, a lot of very deep philosophical truths are given away in this article with like very, very, very nice explanations like that. So just a couple of excerpts I thought I can share, you know, today. It's really, this article is so mind-blowing. So this is from ISKCON News and we can try to read it later. Let me move ahead to the verses. विश्वंभर नित्य करे अति मनोहारा निज शिर लागे गिया चरण उपारा विश्वंभर नित्य करे अति मनोहारा निज शिर लागे गिया चरण उपारा विश्वंभर's dancing was most enchanting as his feet would touch his own head. तलमल भूमि नित्यानंद पद ताले भूमि कंप हेन माने वैष्णव सकाले तलमल भूमि नित्यानंद पद ताले भूमि कंप हेन माने वैष्णव सकाले द अर्थ ट्रेम्बल्ड अंडर द फीट ऑफ नित्यानंद एंड ऑल द वैष्णवस थॉट देयर वाज एन अर्थक्वेक. हे माता आनंदे नाचे न दुई नाथा से उल्लास कहि भरे शक्ति आचे काटा. हे माता आनंदे नाचे न दुई नाथा से उल्लास कहि भरे शक्ति आचे काटा. दिस वे द टू लॉर्ड्स डांस इन एक्सटेसी. हु हैज द पावर टू डिस्क्राइब देयर जुबिलेशन. सो आई लाइक टू पॉज हियर फॉर टुडे. And again, please forgive me, dear devotees, if I made any mistakes in my presentation. Please feel free to correct me and chastise me. And if you have any realizations or questions or comments, please feel free to share. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. A beautiful, beautiful class. You went so many places, covered so many pastimes. It was a very beautiful class, Mataji. And you started with the Supreme Lord's dance, Veda Kirtan pastime, And Chida Dehi pastime, and then you went to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. This way, you kept each verse you were explaining so beautifully, so many realizations. And I'd really like to read that article, Mataji, though I'm sure I would understand nothing. Just like to read, if you can share it, it will be great from the ISKCON news about the Lord's energies.
Yeah, sure, Mataji. I will share it. I'll give it to Vinita.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji. And dear devotees, please go ahead and share your realizations or any questions. Either raise your hand or you can unmute too.
Yeah, my apologies. I went past time, but that article is so interesting. So I just wanted to share.
Yes, Mataji. Beautiful class. Please don't apologize for anything.
Hare Krishna, Sukh Sagari, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you,
Thank you
Mataji,
so
for
much.
such a beautiful class. And as Chinmayi Mataji said, you have given all the essence of all the verses, Mataji, very nicely. You have explained detailedly from Chaitanya Charitamrita and also from Back to Godhead magazine and other thing. How nicely you have explained everything detailedly, Mataji. Very, very grateful to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Very nice to hear from you, Chaitanya Leela, after a long time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
Thank you
Mataji.
so much.
Thank you so much for such a interesting class, especially I love the details about the Lord's dance, and how the holy and dancing in a structured manner has been and it is a very interesting. So thank you. He's telling it was like a beautiful choreographed dance.
Mataji, Preeti, you're kind of breaking up. I don't know if it's me or sorry, I couldn't properly
Yes,
hear you.
Mataji, but she's saying she liked the back to this one, the dancing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She liked that so much. She was telling that. Yeah, her voice is
Oh,
breaking.
sorry, Mataji, I couldn't hear. See, Vinita is so receptive, she understands everything.
Mataji, I am sitting just with near the computer, Mataji. That's why I can hear it nicely.
Oh, Jai. Sorry, Preeti, I was not able to hear.
No worries, Mataji. My connection has been bad always this time. Yeah. But thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Preeti, for making so many efforts to kind of make me read Chaitanya Bhagavata. I'm so indebted to you. Really.
Mataji, Lalitangi Mataji shares her comment in the chat. She says classes like a
Yeah,
beautiful.
I read Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. All grace to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Okay.
But dear devotees, are there any more realizations or comments? Okay, with your permission, can we end today's call, Mataji? Thank you so much, Mataji, for a very delightful class. It was a very, I didn't know how the hour passed. It was a very beautiful class. You took us everywhere and kept us attentive, which is so difficult for me to stay attentive. So thank you, Mataji. With your permission, can we offer respects to all the Vaishnavas and yourself, Mataji?
Yeah,
Vancha
to all the Vaishnavas, sure, Mata.
Vancha Tarubhyascha
Kripa Sindhu
Krupa
Bhavne
Padki Jai Har Grace Sukh Sagari Mataji Ki
Jai.
Jai Jai
Mataji,
Glory to
thank
all
you, Mataji. Koti koti dandavat pranam, Hare Krishna.
Mataji.
Dandavat pranam, Swatiji. Hare Krishna.
We wish to see you often. Thank you,
Thank you,
Mataji.
Mataji, with all your mercy. Hare Krishna.
We'll be ending the call here, dear devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hari Bol.